Welcome to
America's Cannabis Conversation,
where you can hear experts from all facets of the cannabis business as to what's happening in this exploding industry. Keep yourself informed. Join the conversation. This is America's Cannabis Conversation Quick News, and I'm your host, Dan Perkins. Washington, D.C. Chuck Schumer lists marijuana as a priority in the first post-election cannabis conference. Newly installed Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer, Democrat of New York, reiterated on Monday that the marijuana reform will be the legislative priority for his chamber as the session ramps up. In his first public comments on cannabis policy since Democrats reclaimed the majority and put him in the top leadership position, Schumer said federal marijuana reform will be part of the racial justice agenda that lawmakers will pursue in the 117th Congress. It's a signal to advocates that the senator's pre-election commitments to advancing legislations were not simply political bluster. Schumer said that when it comes to marijuana reform, the issue intersects with both racial and economic justice. A young man is arrested with a small amount of marijuana in his pocket. He has a criminal record the rest of his life. Can't become a productive citizen. This one won't hire him. That one won't hire him. Change that, he told MSNBC Rachel Maddow. There's a lot to do, and we have to succeed. The comments came in response to Maddow's prompt to his list of top legislative priorities for the new year. He first listed climate change, then included cannabis in a riff about the economic and racial inequity, and concluded by discussing democracy and election reform. Newark, New Jersey. Police in New Jersey's largest city continue marijuana arrests at pre-legalization rates. New Jersey voters approved a referendum to legalize marijuana in November, and the state attorney general is instructing prosecutors to suspend low-level cannabis cases. But the number of marijuana-related arrests in the state's largest city have remained largely unchanged compared to last year. That's according to a recent analysis of crime report data in Newark, New Jersey, by Justin Liebley, an associate professor of accountancy at the University of Illinois. The Newark Police Department made a total of 57 marijuana-related arrests in the first 20 days of this year, compared to 63 arrests made in the same period in 2020. But more notably, that trend is driven by a spike in arrests for simple possession alone, which grew from 39 last year to 48 this year, a 23% increase. This is despite the fact that the state attorney general issued a guidance in November telling prosecutors not to take on low-level cannabis cases as lawmakers work to develop regulations for a regulated market. His office also recently circulated a follow-up notice extending that policy until March 31st. Meanwhile, cases of possession with intent to distribute in Newark declined 63% from 24 in the first days of 2020 to just 9 in the same period this year. That activity would not be legalized under the voter-approved referendum. Chicago, Illinois. The cannabis industry sees record growth despite continuous obstacles. The estimated value of the cannabis business in the United States is between $54 and $67 billion, despite conflicting state and federal laws that cause obstacles at every turn. The conflict remains a source of uncertainty for retailers, cultivators, and the general public. And unfortunately, the palpable tug of war between the states and the federal government will only increase when legalization is introduced at the federal level, putting tax dollars up for grabs. A tug of war between the states and the federal government makes it difficult for cannabis businesses to obtain bank accounts, insurance, and investors. It also means additional security and compliance challenges. It is the reason that the cannabis industry is an unsupportive environment for startups and employees who face a primitive or even dangerous research and development conditions in order to advance the extraction process. Cannabis companies fight to grow their market share may lag behind when instituting proper risk management structures from research and development to daily operations. Cannabis businesses that haven't incorporated risk management will need to in 2021, especially when seeking to secure funding from PE firms. This has been your American Cannabis Conversation Quick News Update. So let's see who's joining the conversation this week. First off is Charles Butler, a friend of mine, who's the host of The Reality Check in Chicago on Red State Radio. And he's going to address the cultural issues and current topics of interest in dealing with minorities and the pandemic virus. Next up is our roving reporter, Chase Roberts, who has an interview with Cal Chan, president of Triology, a company that makes botanical blends and elixirs for modern life. Our third guest is Brent Seidel, the president and COO of Zeiss Life Sciences. They have created the opportunity in Canada to ship cannabis products directly to your home. And our last guest is Erwin Simon, who was the chairman and CEO of Tilray, a merged company that made it the largest cannabis company in the world. He's going to talk about what he's planning to do with the new company and how he's taking it to the next generation and the next level of success. So let's join the conversation. I'm Dan Perkins. So let's see who's joining the conversation this week. First off is Charles Butler, a friend of mine, who's the host of The Reality Check in Chicago on Red State Radio. And he's going to address the cultural issues and current topics of interest in dealing with minorities and the pandemic virus. Next up is our roving reporter, Chase Roberts, who has an interview with Cal Chan, president of Triology, a company that makes botanical blends and elixirs for modern life. Our third guest is Brent Seidel, the president and COO of Zeiss Life Sciences. They have created the opportunity in Canada to ship cannabis products directly to your home. And our last guest is Erwin Simon, who was the chairman and CEO of Tilray, a merged company that made it the largest cannabis company in the world. He's going to talk about what he's planning to do with the new company and how he's taking it to the next generation and the next level of success. So let's join the conversation. I'm Dan Perkins. Welcome to the conversation, and joining me today is a gentleman that I've known for 7 years, and we're actually reversing roles. He has a show on Red State Radio called The Reality Check with Charles Butler, and I've been working with him for about 7 years. We figured out before this broadcast, talking about kinds of stuff. I invited Charles on because I've spoken to him many times about the issue of why Black people and other minorities are so adversely affected by this virus, and on top of that, why they're so reluctant to get the vaccine. So, Mr. Butler, welcome to my show.
Well, thank you, Dan. I appreciate that. Or should I say Daniel?
No,
or should
just
I say
Dan.
Mr. Perkins?
No, just Dan is good enough for me. So, Charles, I read articles about the pandemic and how it's affecting minorities, and you might get maybe two lines in a story about minorities.
Uh-huh.
And yet what we see is that the numbers across the board, whether it's hospitalizations, whether it's positive testing or death as a percentage of the population, the Black people in this country are more adversely affected. And
right.
I've had an opportunity to talk to a lot of doctors as to why they
uh-huh.
are. And there's lots of reasons they talk about it. Sometimes it's diet, sometimes it's exercise. Since one of the biggest things that they're saying, which didn't really come to mind at the time, but that Black people are much more social than white people. And what I mean by that, they tend to gather in their homes in smaller groups. They go out and they party and do all that stuff, but they tend to spend more time as a family, which creates a situation where the disease can spread. The other one is the factor that the pigmentation in the skin retards the conversion of sunlight into vitamin D3, which is a very, very important vitamin for fighting off viruses. So, Charles,
I always find that hard when I hear things like that, because it's very interesting that American medicine and European medicine still refuses to acknowledge that the existence of melanin, which is what we're talking about, color, that the
right.
existence of melanin is a neurological chemical, that allows Black people and people of color to perform the way they do and develop the way they do. If you look at childhood development, you look at studies, if you look at athletes, you know, you look at any of these issues, you know, we come out on the higher end. And you have to say, well, what? You look at muscle tone of the average Black person. I mean, even a fat Black person has muscle tone. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, you look at these things. So I put very little credence in what, and again, this is to a point what we're talking about today, white folks in medicine and talking about Black folks, because while these people could cure AIDS, a devastating disease, or not cure AIDS, but deal with AIDS, sickle cell anemia is still killing Black folks, and nobody's talking about that.
Right. Well, that's part of the issue that what I was trying to say at the beginning
exactly.
of the show.
Yeah.
There are issues,
exactly.
even in the COVID virus, if you talk, when you read stories about who's affected in the minorities, Blacks
oh, yeah.
or Hispanics or a Native Americans, there's not much there. There's not much substance. And and so I talked to you several times about the question, why did the Pew Research of the black community find that only 42% of the people were interested in getting the vaccine? Such a low number. Charles.
Well, it's just like I just stated. You know, we have a justifiable distrust of any information coming from CDC, any of these other companies or institutions. I know that, you know, if you read, like, there's an article in New York Times that directly correlated to a situation I had where doctors refused to give black people pain medication. I had a doctor who denied me pain medication in spite of the fact that I pointed that out to him and his own bias. So I don't want to go to a white doctor for a number of reasons, and my treatment has always been different with my PCP that's black versus a PCP that's Indian or white. It's really interesting.
Yeah, no, I understand that. I know that there have been several major situations in the history of our country where black people, the Tuskegee experiment, were infected with syphilis, and when there was a cure, they weren't given it, and it went into generations of black people getting syphilis.
Oh, yeah.
And then there was a case not too long ago where there was a settlement by Pfizer in a drug trial in Angola where they injected children without the parents' permission, and thousands of them died, and they finally settled with hundreds of millions of dollars. Unfortunately, we're just about out of time on this segment, but we're going to come back and continue this story with our guest today, Mr. Charles Butler. We'll be right back. This is Dan Perkins, host of America's Cannabis Conversation, and I want to talk to you about empowering yourself to protect yourself from COVID-19 while you wait on the vaccine. If you are concerned about totally depending upon a mask and isolation to prevent yourself from getting COVID-19, you now have an alternative. CV Sciences has two all-natural supplements that can help balance your immune system. CV Acute and CV Defense are available at empoweryourself.info. Empower yourself today. Welcome back to the conversation. Joining us today is my friend, Mr. Charles Butler, who is the host of the Reality Check on Red State Radio. He's a black man, and he's a friend of mine, has been for a number of years, and we share radio space on a regular basis. We're talking about black people and the pandemic. Charles, you were saying just before we finished to the break that a lot of the reasons why black people are, and other minorities too, but the black people seem to have the lowest interest in getting the vaccine. We talked about something that I'm working with, which is an all-natural alternative, which is produced by CV Sciences. And it's basically, they have two products, one if you start to get sick and one that you take every day to keep you from getting sick as much as possible. And that's CV Acute is the emergency stuff and CV Defense. But they're all natural. And you said to me when we first started talking about these products that you said there's a higher degree of likelihood that the black community would accept something that's certified as all natural as opposed to something that's chemical compound created by the pharmaceutical company. And why do say that, Charles?
Because, you know, a lot of our background, I mean, I'm 68 years old, so I'm not that old. But I remember the old home remedies, man. I remember, you know, if you had a head cold, your mom would put you under a steam deal to unclog your head. You know, you didn't get, you know, medication to open your sinuses. You know, you went under put a towel over your head, over a hot pot of water, and you'd inhale things like that. Vicks vapor rub. Yeah, things like that.
You
know, we had castor oil. You know, yeah, of course. These were home remedies. If you got castor oil, you know, a couple of times a year to clean out your system, things like that. You know, home folks remedies and home folk and old folks mess. But these were things that black people used and that immigrants used when they came here because they didn't have access to quality medical care. I remember when we had black hospitals in Detroit. I lived in Detroit, Michigan. I remember going to black people couldn't go to white hospitals in Detroit, Michigan in the 50s and 60s when I was a boy.
Yeah, yeah. You know, and the other thing is...
So when you ask why do we... and today... I don't trust these. I go to UFC Hospital. This is the kind of subpar treatment, medical treatment I was getting at UFC. Now, you remember, Dan, there was a black doctor, the story was in New York Times, black doctor in New York got COVID-19, complained that she wasn't being treated like she was supposed to be treated, and she died. She died. But she told these people, you're not giving me the proper treatment. This is a black doctor. I have several black doctors who are very close to me. We all went to college together. together. They've been practicing medicine for 40 plus years, MDs, and they say the same thing about the medical profession and the treatment of blacks in the medical profession. So this is not unusual for blacks. So that's why when you say, why do we gravitate toward natural remedies? It's because we can believe in those. We can trust in those. But
right,
it takes more. It takes more when it's natural. You have to, you know, it doesn't have the same potency that a chemical produced drug or medication might have. So those are the other issues that you have to deal with.
Yeah, you know, I did some work a couple of years ago with the Food and Drug Commission, and they were very concerned about the proliferation of antibiotics in the system, and the doctors jumping on the bottle of antibiotics to cure whatever, and that we created immunities against the antibiotics, so we get stronger and stronger, and the side effects get worse and worse. And that's the thing that was interesting to me about these all-natural remedies, is that the defense product is made up of vitamins and minerals that are all natural, vitamin D and vitamin A and selenium and zinc, things that are proven to be remedies. And I'm concerned, I personally am concerned, because I haven't decided whether I'm going to get the vaccination or not, but I do have the CV Acute and CV Select. I agree with you. I think there are a lot of people who are very concerned about the speed at which the virus came out and the speed at which the vaccines were developed. And there are so many questions we don't know about it. The idea to turn on something that's natural seems like a logical thing to do.
It's very logical. And then when you look at the hypocrisy and you look at the cover-up and you look at the media who refuses to call this the Chinese COVID disease, when you look at the fact that Dr. Fauci, and these are facts, not conspiracy theories, the fact that Dr. Fauci gave Wuhan, the Chinese research center in Wuhan, over $3 million to do research on this COVID-19 virus strain, and all of a sudden it's leaked out into the world. I mean, but I know that Fauci gave the grant, and that's in the NIH and other publications out
there. Yeah, it was $3 million. So if your audience, Charles, is interested in finding a natural way to work on the immune system, and believe it or not, that's exactly what the vaccine is supposed to do, is work on the immune system. They're looking for a natural way to strengthen their immune system. Then the CV Defense and CV Acute might be helpful. And you can go to
empoweryourself.info
to learn more about that. Charles, how do people listen to you?
Oh, they can go to therealitycheck.com or The Reality Check with Charles Butler on YouTube. Most of my shows are up there, the video and the audio. You can also catch me at SoundCloud under Charles Butler, my name. You can catch me on Twitter and Facebook under Charles Butler.
It's always a pleasure to talk with you, and thank you so much for giving us the time to come and talk to the black community, because it's an important message. Thank you for joining us.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome.
If you missed any of this terrific interview with Charles, you can go to W420RadioNetwork.com, go to the archive section and download the show and listen to what Charles has to say. If you're interested in the CV Science products, go to empoweryourself.info and you get all kinds of information. And we'll be right back.
You're listening to America's Cannabis Conversation on W420RadioNetwork.com.
Welcome back to the conversation. This is Chase Roberts, Special Assignment Reporter for America's Cannabis Conversation. Today, we will be talking with Cal Chan, the president of Santa Cruz, California-based wellness company, Trilogia. Cal, welcome. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Great. Tell me a little bit about your company, Trilogia.
Sure. Well, as you mentioned, Trilogia is a Santa Cruz-based wellness company, and our primary mission is to bring the power of cannabis to the world.
And Cal, what does Trilogia stand for? What is your mission?
Well, Trilogia in Spanish means three stories. The three stories that are central to our brand are humans and people involved in making cannabis. Nature, knowing that nature is the provider of not only cannabis, but all of the healing benefits of cannabis and cannabis itself. So it's human nature and cannabis. And we really believe that through cannabis, we could help people live more balanced lives with themselves and with nature.
Interesting. And where did that idea come from?
Well, it originated in Santa Cruz. So a couple of years ago, I went to go visit Fred Teo, who's my co-founder and the CEO of this business. And he had just opened his cannabis farm. He's one of 14 legal growers in Santa Cruz of cannabis. And I had just finished with one of my other ventures, and I was deciding to do, I was trying to decide what's next in my life. And I was really interested in cannabis because it had a transformative effect on how I perceive the world. And he said, well, if you want to do this right, why don't we tour Santa Cruz and talk to some of the thought leaders here in the cannabis space? So we went to go see a number of farms. We talked to a lot of chemists and extractors, cultivators, dispensaries, bud tenders. And what I realized is that there's such a rich history in California specifically around cannabis. And there's some cutting edge technology and cutting edge approaches being taken to the cannabis industry that have really haven't been explored nationally. And with my background in marketing products nationally to on Amazon and direct to consumer, I thought that this was a great opportunity to create a new cannabis company.
Fantastic. Who is part of your team? You mentioned Fred. Where did Fred come from?
Yeah, Fred Teo is, he used to be the executive vice president of worldwide marketing at Disney. He worked on all those classic Disney movies that you probably love, like all the Pixar movies, for example. Through that experience, he became personal friends of Steve Jobs, and he ended up being the executive vice president of worldwide marketing at Apple. He gave me my first job working on the iPhone campaign. And 15 years later, our paths crossed again, and we started this cannabis company together.
And Cal, where are you headquartered, and where are you sourced from?
Santa Cruz. But we're also, you know, now because of COVID, spread out all across the globe. So currently I'm in Korea. I have another partner who's in Denver, Colorado, and his name is Dr. Blair, and he's also an incredible scientist. I'd love to talk to you about him if you have time.
Absolutely. So tell me about your products. You have three different lines, and tell me some of the products that are in each of those.
Absolutely. So we have three product lines. A THC line, which is for connoisseurs. About the THC line, it's the fastest acting edible in the world. Essentially, we use this technology that was developed by Dr. Blair to create an edible that works as fast as a vape. It kicks in within about 3 to 10 minutes, unlike most edibles that kick in within about an hour. It's an all-natural process, and we've utilized this technology in our CBD products as well. So our CBD products are the deepest absorbing. They absorb 15 times better than any other CBD products in the world. And we have, through Dr. Blair, conducted several clinical trials with different educational institutions to show that our technology works and is the most efficacious. And the last product line that we have is our terpenes line. Now, this is inspired by cannabis, but there's no cannabis in there at all. And what we've done is identify the terpene profiles in cannabis that give some of its effects and replicated them through finding these terpenes in other plants in nature.
How much research and development did you feel you needed to do? You obviously have some groundbreaking things here that other companies don't have. So what did that entail for you?
Yeah, well, you know, the research process was pretty extensive. So just to tell you about cannabis in general, a lot of people focus on just a couple ingredients, like THC, for example, or CBD. CBD has been marketed as this cure-all, something that can, you know, fix everything under the sun. But in reality, it's one of many ingredients in cannabis. And through our research, what we found is in order to get the maximum benefits of cannabis, you really need the full spectrum experience. Now, that alone is great, but the fact of the matter is, if you want to sell CBD nationally, you can't really have it over 0.3% THC. So to compensate for this, we've used this technology, which is developed by Dr. Blair. And just a little side note, he used to be a particle physicist, and he decided, you know what, I don't want to work for the military. He ported that technology into supplements and now into cannabis, enabling us to make the most effective cannabis products in the world.
Do you have any exclusive rights to these materials and processes you're using?
Yes, we do. he's a partner in this business. So through that partnership, we do have the exclusive to use this technology. And the technology has a lot of different applications. We can make really efficacious tinctures or shots. We're working on a product called the Liquid J, which will be a replacement to vaping. And they also have medical applications. So we're doing a lot of research into how we can deliver the healing effects of cannabis quickly through this technology.
Wow. Great. Needed for so many people. What are your next steps for going into 2021? I know you mentioned you have some other products coming out. Where do you see this going?
Well, next steps for Trilogia, we definitely are pushing into dispensaries first and foremost, because we know that we could deliver an amazing, game-changing experience there. We're also going to be launching our new website at the beginning of the year for our CBD products. And we're also looking for an investor or two to help bring this to the next level.
Do you have some different thoughts on cannabis and CBD, different from the rest of the industry? Why don't you tell me a little more about that?
Absolutely. That's a great question. Well, first of all, I could tell you when I entered this space, I knew not even a fraction of what I know now about what cannabis really means. When I entered, I was not unlike a lot of these other companies that you see at trade shows or all over the internet, thinking that CBD is a cure-all and a wonder drug that can do everything and anything that you want in terms of its healing properties. But through talking to so many different cultivators, scientists, chemists, working with Dr. Blair, working with two of our formulators who are also biologists and chemists, and their names are Sarah Plaskalaskwa and Hardeep Kelsey, we've realized that cannabis has a lot of different properties, and to take and to get its maximum effect, you really have to have this full spectrum experience. Now, a lot of people talk about CBD, and some people talk about THC, but there's this entire class of compounds called terpenes that very few people are talking about. But when you start to investigate what makes cannabis special, it's actually the terpene profiles. So there's this common misconception that indica and sativa are the only things that modulate the experience with cannabis. But in reality, it's the terpene profiles that really tune your cannabis experience. So for example, there's a terpene profile called myrcene. And if a cannabis strain has high myrcene content, it typically helps you relax and go to sleep. And it's insights like these that the industry is just now tapping into. And we're very fortunate, like I mentioned, because we work with a lot of cannabis thought leaders to be able to be on the cutting edge of this technology and these sciences. When we started, we had no idea where we were going to go. And it actually took us about a year and a half to develop these products, because we are continually pushing and pushing to understand how can we make truly effective products. So in the beginning, it was like, hey, let's make high-quality CBD products. And then it was realizing that, well, in absence of some of these other ingredients, we'll need to combine it with other terpene profiles and adaptogens and nootropics. But it literally wasn't possible. So we ended up scouring all of America, and we're lucky enough to find and then partner with Dr. Blair, who is that Caltech scientist that I mentioned, to make these formulas. It was a long journey, but I'm really happy and honored to be where I am now, because I can honestly say that these are one-of-a-kind experiences.
Fantastic. Cal, tell me about your liposomal technology you utilize as well.
Yes. So let me tell you about liposomes. Liposomes have been around for a while. In fact, all the vaccinations that are coming out for COVID-19 are using a same form factor, which is a lipid. So a liposome is essentially a layer of fat wrapped around whatever the product is that you want to deliver. Typically reserved for vaccinations you'll find that all the mRNA vaccinations have to be transported in sub-zero temperatures because they're very volatile. So if you left one of the vaccines out on your countertop for a month, it would be toast, basically. But because Dr. Blair has this experience in making fuel cells at Caltech, and the whole job of fuel cells is to restore and contain that energy for years in storage at room temperature so that a plane, for example, could take off at a drop of a dime. Well, he ported that technology to cannabis. And now we're able to break down all of these cannabis profiles, the terpenes, the CBD, and the THC, to the molecular level so that they absorb into your body deeply and quickly, which is why we can deliver the fastest acting edible in the world, an edible that works within minutes, not an hour. And it's because of this technology that we're able to keep these products at room temperature for years and have them stable. So honestly, it's a breakthrough innovation. It's going to change the cannabis space entirely. I truly believe that what you'll find over the course of the next year or so, as we roll out, that this will be the next big thing since vaping.
So many exciting things for you guys coming up. Where can our listeners find you, and what are your socials?
Sure. Well, you can find us at trilogia.com. That's trilogia.com. But also you can find us on Instagram and Facebook at mytrilogia.com. That's mytrilogia.
Cal Chan of Trilogia, I really want to thank you for your time. It's been a pleasure. For our listeners out there, if you missed any of this great interview with Cal Chan, you can go to W420RadioNetwork.com and click on the archive section to listen to this and other great interviews. And we'll be right back.
Hello, this is Dan Perkins from America's Cannabis Conversation, and I'm here to talk to you about CV Sciences, the company that developed the immune system support products called CV Acute and CV Defense. One of the questions I asked the company was, how safe and effective are these products? Recently, I interviewed Stuart Tonk on my show, and here is his response to my question.
Science supports it. CV Acute and CV Defense are backed by research, cited by the World Health Organization for immune system challenges. It's safely used in hospitals. That's right, CV Acute is safely used in hospitals in Europe and in China.
If you want a productive immune system, you need to purchase both CV Defense and CV Acute. You can find out more information about both of these products at empoweryourself.info. Empower yourself and take charge of your response to COVID-19. You have the power to control yours and your family's health care. Welcome back to The Conversation, and this is Dan Perkins, and joining us today is Brent Zeidel, who has been on our show before several times, and we're talking about the revolution that he's starting in Canada of shipments directly to medical marijuana users by prescription, avoiding having dispensaries. So, welcome back to The Conversation, Brent.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Given what you've done and you're reinventing the delivery system to the customer, at least in the medical space, what are the traditional dispensaries? What's their reaction to what you're doing?
That's a good question. So the traditional dispensaries that we have in Canada right now, their focus is on a rec product. And they're allowed to have storefronts based on having access to a rec product. And they try to back into what I call the wellness markets, which are mostly CBD-centric. And then they try to talk about some of the pharmaceutical sides or medical markets as well. But their focus is primarily for the user's experience in a recreational experience. Ours is an online presence for a prescription for a prescribed product of cannabis that's going to be used for a true medical application. And so that's where the lines are a little bit different. So what's really going to happen over time is then what people and our patients were seeing is that if they try to use a rec product to manage a true ailment, it it's really frustrating for the patient because they never seem to have the same as precision in the products. If you have a brand name product that they're trying and they're trying to use it as a medicine, they find that there's a lot of variability between batch lots and between times when they take it, even though it has the same name, come from a different grower or whatever it might be. When you take in a medicine, the patients are really using something that's they need less of to manage a symptom than they would otherwise to get high. So for example, to manage a chronic pain condition, a person only needs to use about 1/10 the dose that it would take to get high. So getting high is basically an overdose response. But people who are using it to manage pain or managing a symptom like my dear late aunt Gloria, who was using for managing her lymphoma, she wanted to use cannabis to manage her symptoms and allow just enough so she can get a good night's sleep and not be, you know, stoned in the, when she wakes up in the morning, or not have enough that she can, you know, she can get a good sleep. And so that precision that we have to bring into this is a different, almost a different, it's a completely different product. Even though it comes from the same plant, it's a different product because of the precision that's built in behind it. So right. The patients can then use to rely on that as a true medicine. So they can self-titrate, it's called, or self, they learn the experience with that, and then they can learn, they can be more predictable when they use it every single time.
I've done, as you can imagine, every week, 4 to 6 interviews on the show, and for almost a year and a half, and pain is the number one reason. We have medical only here in Florida, where I'm from, and I went in 3 years ago when it first started, and then I went back a year ago. And I talked to the doctor who set up the practice, and I said, when you started 3 years ago, what did your business model call for? And it said, he said, the average age of our customer we anticipated to be between 25 and 35 years of age. And I said, so how did it turn out 3 years later? Average age is 55. We have patients under 55, but we have a lot of patients much older than 55. In fact, my oldest patient is 92. And what's the principal reason they're with you? Pain. Now, I've talked to people like yourself, industry experts, who are saying what you're saying, and that is the formulation of what you use for medicinal purposes, medicine, is different than what you're doing for recreation. And you can't force one into the other. You can't take a medicinal product and satisfy a recreational user, and you can't take a recreational product for a medical use. So you've got a clear space, but if we separate the products and simply just look at the delivery mechanism, how long is it going to be before you can deliver recreational product?
Yeah, the recreational products, to be able to supply them online, I think is they're protecting their dispensary components, and they're all run by the different jurisdictions, and so there could be something that changes with that in the future. But to your point about the difference for your listeners on a recreational product versus a medical product, and what we've learned is that there's what I call the entourage effect. It looks like when our science is pointing to that you need at least 2, if not 3 different natural cannabinoids are referred to, like THC, everybody knows the acronym, or tetrahydrocannabinol, is one cannabinoid. CBD or cannabidiol is a second, and there's a whole number. The plant itself produces 122 different cannabinoids. Now, we know there's 7 that work on a human being or interact with a human being, but there's only one that we, well, I shouldn't say one, there's probably 2 with THCV. So THC and THCV cause people to be that recreational experience. So the recreational products are usually centric on THC only, as much as possible with some other things. The medical products that are coming out are going to have maybe THC as a base, as a part of it, but it's a complement. So you'll have 2 or 3 other ones that are really adding a cumulative benefit. And that's where we're starting to see the division between the two products emerging. And that's where it becomes, again, more precision. So if we have to go for 3 different cannabinoids in a formulation, we have to give the succinct presentation of that every single time, as opposed to a rec product, which will be more THC-centric, but it'll have the terpenes and all the other sensory components that go with that to bring on an experience. there's seven or eight different terpenes that are sort of commonly found in cannabis-based plants, and they're all in different ratios. And in fact, really from your listeners' perspective, when we first started this program 20 years ago for the Health Canada, the Health Canada didn't know what they wanted for a variety. And so for many years, they gave us stuff that came from successful convictions, and they had to screen through a different number of plants to find them one that they would consider using for research. Well, we screened through 25,000 different lines of cannabis plants. And the most curious part of that was that every single different line of cannabis plant had a different smell. And this, and the employees at the time started calling them by their smells. Like, this was Blueberry Hill, and this was Jack Pine, and this was Skunk, and this. So the smells, every plant had its unique signature, terpene signature, which we thought was curious because that, you know, that really wasn't what we were trying to base everything upon. But the terpenes themselves are, you know, they definitely add to the sensory component and may add to somebody, you know, automatically starting to relax when they start to feel the smells, because it has a tremendous benefit for people to help them to immediately relax when they start smelling those things if they're thinking of that. But in our case, we're trying to use formulations that are oral presentations. And so we said, well, we think we just want to focus on the cannabinoids that are really contributing to this, and we'll leave the sensory stuff for the recreational market. And so the terpenes for the recreational market. I don't know if we're going to there's a different body of research that has to be to look at terpenes as how they're really impacting and benefiting for a human being. But I think there is something possibly there, but that's not something that we're doing at the moment, just because our body of work is so extensive. You know, if you can imagine the permutations, you have seven different active compounds and you're trying to put them into one capsule, what the work is in behind that that has to happen. The combinations are on stratosphere.
Ladies and gentlemen, what Brent has done is he's created, in essence, for medical purposes with prescription, home delivery of product, which I think is absolutely amazing. So how long have you been doing that, Brent?
Well, we started, you know, my experience and our team's experience, previous company, we started in December of 2000. So we've been authorized federally from then. Now, of course, from your listeners, presume they may remember the name Canamed, and we did a hostile takeover by Aurora in 2018. But I started this company 3 days later. And so now, because the mission wasn't complete, we are just beginning to understand how the medical application of these entourage effect was impacting on people, especially as it relates to managing pain, chronic pain. And so we were saying, we got to get further into this because we just are beginning to understand that. And now we've got to pick up where we left off. And that's how come we've had just 35 people came with me to start the business. And now we're well on our way to finding out, drilling down on the clinical efficacy of why these things work on chronic pain.
And so the delivery service, how long have you had that out?
Well, this one, we've only had this particular, we've been relicensed now for just over 3 weeks.
And what's been the reaction of consumers?
Favorable reaction by consumers. They've actually appreciated the fact that they can, you know, get it ordered. The biggest challenge, I have to be honest with you, Dan, is that amongst all the COVID speak, getting airtime has been challenging because the competition is what we want to talk about, what's happening with the pandemic. So getting airtime has been a real challenge to get the word out. But other than that, the people that hear it have really appreciated it.
Any new major uses as far as treatments that are coming up the ladder? I know pain is one, sleep deprivation is another. Anything else expanding more rapidly than others? Any issues?
Yep. We're going to have a product that's non-THC based that we're investigating right now for managing pediatric cancer pain. So we've discovered something there for managing pediatric cancer pain for that is non-THC based. And then we have a third candidate that is looking at managing anxiety, depression, and PTSD. Again, it's a very low THC-based product, but it's a higher in the other and other minor cannabinoids. And we found some benefit there for people. We previously had people who were managing anxiety well with this particular product, and we've been able to link something together. So those are our three main areas that we're looking at of fostering.
In the pediatric space, did I hear you correct, pediatric cancer patients?
Yep.
Okay.
Yes. So pediatrics, so we have to be careful with THC. A lot of the listeners will know that THC can be very problematic for people under the age of 20 because it really does impact on the in brain development. So we tried to hunt for a product that could manage pain, but without having to be focused on, or having THC present. We've made some discoveries on that, and now we're hoping to push that along as well.
I'm working in that field with another natural product, and I'm fascinated because you're right, but it's not THC free. It's low THC.
No, this one will be a THC free product. It would be able to. It'll be a complement of them. As I mentioned, the other seven will be a complement of the other three different cannabinoids that are not THC. As it treats to managing cancer pain. So we've just made the discovery on that.
How does that compare to, say, CBD, which is no THC?
CBD is part of the group. So CBD is part parcel of that, but there's two other ones in there as well. And so what we do have is that we're just trying to make sure that the cannabinoids have a very unique role in the human being. I mean, if we all step back for a minute, I mean, cannabis has been around for 4,000 years that we haven't recorded history. But we don't, you know, if you think about it, we have very few products that are cannabis-based in the medical arena. And you know, after you get past the, you know, ibuprofens and acetaminophens of the world, you get doctors move straight to the opiates. And there's a gap there, you know. And I think the cannabinoid-based medicines have been artificially suppressed from their development since 1937. I think now we're just beginning to understand that there's more than just one active ingredient in there. There's six or seven active ingredients, and we're just finding the right complement to put them together that's having a benefit to a human being at a certain stage of life. And I guess that's what we're discovering right now.
Brent, we're almost out of time. I just want to ask you one more question on this pediatric thing. Since it doesn't have any THC in it, can it be sent out of Canada to the States?
Well, once we get moving on it, of course, we have to, it's a new drug product entity. We have to go through the formal process. So we can't ship directly to the United States until we have the FDA approval on it. But eventually, we will, yes.
Super. That's terrific. Thank you for spending so much time with us and, as always, giving us tremendous insight as to your brain and what your people are doing in your company. It's been exciting to have you. Brent, tell people how people can follow you and your company.
Yes, they can look at Zyus.com. It's Zyus.com. And, of course, if they want to look a little bit deeper, they can Zyus.ca. And then our phone number is 1-833-713-CARE, which is 2273.
Brent, thank you for joining us today.
Once again, my pleasure, Dan.
If you missed this important interview with lots of new things going on in the cannabis space with Brett, you can go to W420RadioNetwork.com, go to the archive section, and listen to this interview and another recent interview with Brett. You'll be in a position to learn more about what he's doing with his company. We'll be right back.
Talking to a client of mine, Ms. Johnson, insurance client, and we were discussing COVID-19, the vaccine. And Ms. Johnson made some comments when I asked her if she was going to take the vaccine. Ms. Johnson, welcome to the show. What did you have to say?
I have to say no, I would not take a COVID vaccination at this time because it has not been on the market long enough and I do not know how it would affect me.
Would you be inclined to take a natural supplement like made of selenium, zinc, things like that, natural products to prevent COVID or help from COVID if you should come down?
Definitely, I would. I have no problem taking natural products. They come from God.
That makes sense. And speaking of which, I know you have a prayer meeting to attend this evening. So I'm going to go ahead and thank you so much for this information.
Okay, that's fine with me. Excellent.
If you want more information on the CV Sciences, CV Acute, and CV Defense products, then go to empoweryourself.info. Welcome back to the conversation. And joining us today is Erin Simon, who is going to be the CEO of a newly merged operation that will carry the name Tilray. And we want to talk to him about what's going on in the business. Erin, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you very much for having me.
I'm fascinated with the idea that this was a merger of two companies that created, in terms of revenue, the largest cannabis company in the world at the moment. But it appears that there may be other mergers behind you that are nipping at your heels. Is merger where this country's going to go and where these companies are going to go going forward?
Good question. I think you come back and you look at every industry today and you look at the world today. Consolidation is more the word, and it's got to be consolidation for the right reason, just not a merger or an acquisition just to say, hey, I did an acquisition or I did a merger. In our case, you know, when I took over Aphria 2 years ago, there was lots of challenges. And with that, the first and foremost was to make sure that Aphria was stable, the foundation was strong, there was a real good strategy, and that we emerged to be the number one supplier in regards to sales share and EBITDA in Canada. As I stepped back and I looked at Aphria from a global footprint and what did I need to do, Canada's a great country. I'm Canadian, grew up there. There's limitations to what you can do and how big you can grow. Mm-hmm. So with that, because cannabis is not legal federally yet in the U.S., I couldn't go out and buy another Canadian cannabis company. I did go out and buy a U.S. beer company, alcohol company. I couldn't go out and buy anything in Europe other than a medical business. So Tilray was absolutely the right way to go. It was a U.S. domiciled company. It had a very good medical platform in Canada. It had one of the top medical platforms in Europe. They had a U.S. footprint with Manitoba Harvest. And with that, there was lots of synergies to bring the two together. So it's a consolidation. It was a reverse merger. It allowed me to don't re-domicile back into the U.S., which there's, you know, advantages to that. And it set up a company that has tremendous growth opportunities around the world and also now has a footprint in the U.S. When legalization does happen in the U.S., there's a good opportunity for us to be, you know, at the top of the pack there.
Erin, we had on our show a CEO of a research cannabis research company a couple of weeks ago, and she was talking about the changes because of the UN resolution on decriminalization of cannabis, a boon to business in Europe. But when I asked her about sale of recreational, she said, no, the boom in Europe is going to be companies that are going to get in business to do business in the United States, that the United States is still the greatest opportunity, at least for now, in the world. Where do you see your combined companies going?
So, again, she is absolutely right. If you come back and look at the United States and you look at Canada today, you know, it's a $6 billion business there. You look at the U.S., it's a $60 billion business. And then you look at all the other derivative products that could come from it in drinks, food products, pet food, et cetera. So the U.S. major, major opportunity, and also the U.S. is a major, major opportunity in regards to medical. And I come back and say between medical, between consumer products, and between recreational, it's a $100 billion opportunity. Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, I come back and I'm still fascinated by the opportunities in Europe. I think medical is legal in a lot of countries today, whether it's Germany, whether it's Portugal, whether it's in other countries. Israel, you know, I'm told is going to legalize. Germany's going to legalize. There's 600 million people in Europe. So Europe, if you come back and look at it from a size standpoint, it is absolutely bigger than the U.S. So I think there's tremendous opportunities in Europe. And I think, again, and personally, I built a consumer packaged goods business in the U.S. and the rest of the world. That was a $3.5 billion company. So with that, I absolutely agree with her. The U.S. is, you know, where some of the bigger prize money is. But on the other hand, you can't sit back and just wait for legalization to happen, okay? You know, the Biden administration, it's not going to be on the agenda for the first 100 days. And, you know, we got to go through the Safe Bank Act. We got to go through the MORE Act. We got to go through legalization. Then we'd have to go through, once, if it was legalized, how do you run it by the states versus the federal government? No different than alcohol when it was legalized.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot before I believe I'm going to be able to sell cannabis in the U.S. from a recreational standpoint. I think we're a few years out. But what's going to be important, though, is if we can get them the Safe Bank Act passed or the MORE Act, which is decriminalization, that's going to be a big movement, because it allows you, from a commerce standpoint in regards to dealing with banks, it allows you to ultimately institutional investors invest in your company, and a lot can happen in regards to the financial ways once banking is approved, because now it's very difficult to get institutions. It's very difficult to deal with U.S. banks because of legalization and not being legal.
Right. You know, you mentioned something which I thought was very interesting, because of some of your contemporaries that I've had on the show don't seem to have the same kind of vision you have. You, if I'm understanding you correctly, you seem to think that the medical market is a very important market to the long-term success of the industry and of your company. There are a lot of people who don't think we need a medical market, that the adult use will take care of the medical market. Where do you come down on that?
I am big on the medical market. I think there's a lot of opportunities, and I see it. I hear it about patients today in regards to anxiety, in regards to pain, in regards to sleep. I see it in regards to patients that are suffering from cancer and on, you know, harsh chemotherapy. So I absolutely think there's a lot of research and development, and that's something I'm behind to stay focused on the medical world and would be a part of it. I think it's a major replacement from opioids, and so medical will be something that we're going to absolutely focus on.
I was speaking to Erwin before we went on the air today and about looking at some of the research on his company and the various medical research projects that he's got going on, which is amazing. We are so far behind the curve in what we should have been doing if we had had a more freer market and less criminal proceedings. We could be doing a lot more work in the areas that you've talked about with medical research. Thank God we're starting to do it today, but we're really behind the curve.
Absolutely. And, you know, in Europe, epilepsy, we have seen in regards to kids having 300 plus seizures a day, they're down to two or three a day. We have seen in regards to anxiety in research working with hospitals there. So I happen to think medical is a very, very important part. And the good news is a lot of companies are dismissing it, and I see that's our opportunity.
Yeah. I have people tell me that there is a distinct difference in the products that you would use in a medical situation versus products you would use in recreational, and they don't cross borders very well. That some of the side effects on the recreational would not be desirable on the part of medical. And so the idea that you're committed to the medical from a business standpoint, because it's going to be a huge market, and it's a big market in the United States. Canada has a total deregulation. Do they make a significant difference between medical and recreational?
There is a significant on the different strains and the different products. And so there absolutely is. And because you're being prescribed, and there has to be, because are you being prescribed it for pain? There's different cannabis there that keep you awake. There's different cannabis that put you asleep. So definitely.
Well, unfortunately, Erwin, we're almost to the end of this segment. Where can people follow your company and the progress you're making on so many different fronts?
So they can absolutely follow it on afria.com. On our website, our social media. Listen, we're out there. And again, the big thing is being somebody who's created a lot of natural organic food brands. To me, this is not about smoking recreational cannabis for a high. There's an enjoyment part of it here. But as you said, there's a big emphasis from myself personally just on the medical side too. And I think that's really important for adults, for kids, for, you know, whoever absolutely needs it. And there's a lot of training and education on it, because the first thing, if my 80-year-old mother, I said to her, I want you to have some cannabis for your arthritis. So you want me to smoke pot? No, I don't want you to smoke pot. I want you to take a medicine for it. Okay.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Anyway.
Good. So thank you so much for joining us today, Erwin.
Thank you very much for having me. Have a great day.
Thank you. Now, if you missed any of this terrific interview with Erwin Simon of Tilray, go to W420RadioNetwork.com, go to the archive section, and you can replay this show at your leisure and listen to a bunch of other stuff.
You're listening to America's Cannabis Conversation on W420RadioNetwork.com. Thank you for taking part in America's Cannabis Conversation.
America's Cannabis Conversation.